You allow, you say, well, I'm not good enough to share the gospel. Why did, weren't you good enough for Jesus to save you? Second is the condition of a cluttered heart. Jesus said the other seed fell on rocky soil, shallow soil. The plant would quickly spring up, but then soon it would melt or wilt among the hot sun and die because the roots had no nourishment in the rocky soil. Spiritually, some folks may be here today, and there's a lot of men that came to this church last week. They got all fired up. But come Monday, they're going to forget that experience. Because it fell on rocky soil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I want revival more than pigs want slop. But I'm telling you, when revival comes, it won't be attached to a service. It's going to be attached because your heart got right. And you got excited enough to want to tell somebody else about it. You got excited enough to see, be used as a seed thrower. So often our hearts remain cluttered. Why? Because following Christ requires us to remove some things from our lives. Jeff LeBorg used it, Denzel alluded to it. When Moses killed the Hebrew, or the Egyptian, excuse me, he dug a hole and buried him in the sand. And then all of a sudden he thought, well, you know, nobody knows anything about that. Unfortunately, it just don't work that way. And then God began to speak to his heart and trying to use him. And then somebody spoke up, aren't you? And two Hebrews got in a fight. And he tried to break it up and spiritually make it right. And he said, whoa, 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 aren't you that man that killed that Egyptian? And then he knew the cat was out of the bag. And that's when he went on the backside of the desert when God didn't speak to him for 40 years. Let me tell you something. Some of us, God is speaking and you can't listen, nor can you hear because you have a cluttered heart. It's full of all kind of stuff. God's wanting to speak to you, but your old habits stay in the way. Your desires and wants and things need to be dug up out of the rocks, and your heart needs to be cleaned out, and you need to make room. It's not good enough just to read the word. You've got to receive the word. You've got to open your heart and let Jesus do what he can do best. And that is spiritual surgery on your heart. Now, I believe I saw a bunch of men last week that had that experience. But the church today, their schedules are cluttered. Their minds are cluttered. Their hearts are calloused. And then thirdly, their hearts are carnal. What the heck does that mean? That means your heart literally follows the desires and wants of your flesh. Your faith says, stand up, be strong, tell people about Jesus. But your flesh says, I can't talk. I don't know enough about the Bible. No, your heart ain't right. Now, there's people in here that served all in all kind of places all through the years and all your lives. And my question is, that was good. It'd be like me if I was pastor and all of a sudden stepped down. And then some of you, what are you doing now, preacher? I mean, you let us have it all those years of what we did do and what we didn't do. What are you doing? My question is, what are you doing? How are you serving in this church? In this community, in other people's lives. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the weeds of the world. What kind of weeds are you talking about, preacher? Well, let's just mention a few. What are the cares of life? Somebody tell me. What is the cares of life? Hello? Wouldn't it be, if you're all distraught and caring about all, wouldn't it be a weed of worry? Are we supposed to worry? But yet, when the bank account gets low, or we can't pay a bill, or we don't receive a check from someone that owes us something, do you worry? When your checks go bouncing, do you worry? Sure you do. You see, worry will cause us to have a carnal heart. Whether it be your habits or your hobbies or your money or unhealthy relationships, whether it be the weed of riches or the weeds of pleasure. You know, I believe God has really kicked us in the gut when it comes to pleasure. It just seems like he has suspended us. Everybody around here is looking for schools, not that they ever wouldn't, but they're looking for schools, and maybe, first of all, because they're open. Second of all, if they got a sports program. We need pleasure, fellowship, because we're carnal by nature. Most of us, I wonder if this is true. You find yourself looking at one another when you're all in the living room because you never have had to carry on a conversation as a family. And if you were like me when I grew up, we didn't have family food around the table. We ate ever all over the house, den, living room. But it's kind of cool to hear, and it's cool like last night, because of Joshua's birthday, we had the whole family over and just sat around the table and listened to people talk. Most of us, or many of us, don't know what that's like. The carnal heart has no time, no energy, no vision for the things of the Lord. He cannot see the spiritual possibilities or purposes or the plans of God. Don't get excited about that. Take it or leave it. Now think about this. The calloused heart is too hard. The cluttered heart is too busy. The carnal heart is too full of the world to produce fruit. But then there's the cultivated heart. What does the Bible say in verse 8? It refers to good ground, fertile soil, soil that bears fruit. It's receptive. It's a picture of the heart that's been tilled, cultivated, prepared. The seeds have been planted and growth comes. That's fertile soil. By the way, that's how you're supposed to be in your marriage relationship together. You ought to be growing. If you're not growing, you're either callous, cluttered, or carnal. That's the way you ought to be growing with your kids. You grandfathers, you grandmothers, that's exactly how you ought to be growing with your grandchildren. They ought to want to go with you. Man, I'm telling you what, sometimes my grandmother would scare me to death. First of all, she made me shell peas on the front porch during the summer. I got sick and tired of that. Shuck corn. Whatever kind of break beans, and I sat on the porch for days. I'd get up and say, all right, hit the front porch. I felt like I was in an army, and I was on PK. We weren't peeling potatoes, but I'm glad I learned all of that. But I never really got to sit around and just talk to my grandmother and hear the love of Jesus or the love of anything. You know, we surely got told when we did wrong. But how many of us are telling our kids and our grandkids when they do right? How many are living them up and or loving them and lifting them up? I mean, come on, the world's tearing them apart. We need a fertile heart. You see, the seed germinates, grows, and bears fruit in your life and mine when we're willing to have a heart that God can use. Sam Johnson came up from, he drove up, believe it or not, 7 hours to spend 2 days in this thing. Anyway, Sam and I were talking. And Sam, I said, Sam, how you doing? Been doing health-wise? He said, matter of fact, Micah, he said, I had a heart issue. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I took my horse out, and I've been trying to teach this young colt how to load up on a trailer. And so this particular day in Mississippi, it was in the morning time, and he said, I went to grab the rope, and all of a sudden, I felt something in my left shoulder go, man. And he had to sit down a minute. He got back up. He said, oh, maybe I just pulled a muscle. So he grabbed on that rope and that coat, and he began to pull. And all of a sudden, he felt his chest begin to tighten. Cold sweat just broke out all over his face. So he said, I'll tell you what. And he took that lead off. And for 3 days, he did that. Until finally, on the third day, he had to sit down because he couldn't breathe. He couldn't walk. And he said, you know what? Maybe there's something wrong with me. I said, Sam, it took you 3 times to determine you had a problem. When they went and done the heart cath, they found his aorta on top was blocked 90%. And he had another artery that was blocked, and they put 2 stents in. Now he's feeling fine. Well, what was his trouble? His heart. And let me tell you, while that was physical, there are many of you sitting here listening to me this morning that you may not have a physical heart problem, but you have a spiritual heart problem. And the pain that you're accepting and receiving, the pain that you're going through, it shouldn't be as bad as what it is, but you've got some blockages. And those blockages you've got in your life are either because of a calloused heart, cluttered heart, carnal heart, or some sin that you're holding on to like Moses, and you're hoping nobody finds out. Can I, through experience, tell you? And I'm not one that wants to run around admitting that I'm blowing it all the time, but I learned something real quick in my life. I hid a sin one time till finally God said, if you don't sit down with somebody and get this straight, I'm not going to use you anymore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It's very uncomfortable to admit that you blow it or you blew it. It's very uncomfortable, but you know what? Once you get it out, and once you get confessed of it, and once you get clean before the Lord, there may be a lot of people that don't like you anymore, but it don't matter. Now, it does matter if your wife is one of them, but you can get that straight. And it could be that it could be someone that you've hurt or something you've said or something you've done or you lied or you cheated or you embezzled funds or you've done something that was wrong. And it was eating your lunch. It should eat your lunch if you're saved. If you're lost, don't matter. A woman who came into the house one day and said, honey, we've got trouble with a car. He said, well, honey, what's wrong with it? She said, it's water in the carburetor. Husband said, water in the carburetor? Honey, that's ridiculous. First of all, you don't even know what a carburetor is. And second of all, you don't even know what one looks like. And thirdly, tell me, honey, where's the car anyway? She said, in the bottom of the swimming pool. There are times that we really don't know until we're in the middle of something. And normally it's trouble. It's not water in the carburetor. We're sunk to the bottom of the pool and we don't know how to turn. We don't know what to do. But I can tell you, my friend, when it gets like that, you need to turn your heart toward Jesus. You need to dig up whatever it is that led you to that kind of problem and get it out. All around us, people are dropping like flies from the pulpits because they got rocks and they got hearts that are carnal. And let me tell you something. When problems get, one thing I've learned about problems, they're not to get you. They're not to eliminate you. They're not to stress you out. It's because God wants to do something. And he's trying to clean us up. Or he's trying to do, last week when I heard, and there was, it seemed like every day I heard something different. I said, well, it's going to be a good one tonight. Look, if you're not doing anything, why does Satan waste time on anything? It's not something going to happen. He ain't going to mess with you. Some of you in here say, well, Satan don't mess with me. That's because you ain't doing nothing. You're no threat. Maybe you slipped in some turbulent waters this morning. And coldness is how you would characterize your heart spiritually. Fruitlessness is how you would characterize your life. And the flesh has taken you over. Are you distracted today? Are you defeated? Are you just too busy for God? Are you living in fear or following your flesh? Some of you just allowed yourself to slip back in spiritual decline. You say, well, Mike, how does that happen? Just quit praying or don't pray at all. Don't read your Bible. Forget church. Stay on home. We're putting it out there. You can listen to it. And I'm not trying to make you out in the homes feel bad. But listen, if you got a good reason, you're fearful or you got health issues, you stay home. And if you got the COVID, don't you come around here till 14 days. Or if you've been exposed, because ain't nobody here wants to. Anybody want to just get COVID today? Raise your hand. Well, you're smart. Nobody wants that junk. But most of us are probably going to get it. Ladies and gentlemen, where is your before Jesus today, before you have to stand before him, where's your heart? Let's pray.